Good morning. My name is Christian, and I am you. This morning, we celebrate the forgiveness of our sins, our way out of temptation, and the resurrection of Jesus. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through him that we are given a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. The Lord has risen.
Thank you. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church and our full Easter celebration. We have important work to do today, which is bring praise to the fame of Jesus. So take a moment in silence and we'll stand for our call to worship. Let us stand before the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the
Please join me at our Trinitarian greeting and then our Easter shout. As the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Blessing and honor, dominion and power be to God forever and ever. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Our hymn is number 302, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Please join me in our common prayer, and after the Amen, take a moment to listen for the voice of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our Father, you are our light, our beauty, and our life. Death has been marked for final destruction. The kingdom of darkness has been shaken, and all hell trembles in fear. You have served the world notice that Jesus is Lord of all by raising him from the dead and vindicating all that he was. What you began in him, continue in us, your church, that adorned with the gifts and powers of the Holy Spirit, we may bear witness to the freedom of sins forgiven, the joy of a life of love and service, and to the recreation of all that you have made. Make of us a mission statement and a colony of your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, our risen Lord, we declare his victory over all the forces of evil and death. Alleluia and amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Please be seated. Our first order of business is to register your attendance. If you're in the balcony or to the sides or down the middle aisle, if you'll please pick up the registration pad and pass it down. We're glad to have so many visitors here today. We'd like to know that you were here. If you give us your address, we'll send you a letter and tell you that we were glad and hope that you will return. The only major announcement for this week is that we will not have our Wednesday supper and study and classes this week. We will resume the week after next. I do have a personal moment of privilege. I've been working on the resurrection as a pastor for 38 years, and this week my second book was published on resurrection. It's about a 360-page treatment of all the major resurrection narratives. These are sermons that I've beefed up into essays. Some of you saw the article in yesterday's paper. If you'd like to purchase a copy, they'll be out to the left. And I'd like to announce that all church sales, the profit will go to our church missions committee, and hope we provide at least one scholarship for someone for our mission in Honduras in the fall. I invite you to listen as Susan Pinckney, our lay reader, reads our first lesson from the book of Acts.
Our first lesson comes from the Acts of the Apostles. Listen and remember this portion of God's story. Then Peter began to speak to them, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. You know the message He sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. We are witnesses to all that He did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put Him to death by hanging Him on a tree, but God raised Him on the third day and allowed Him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our children's sermon today is by Kathy Kelly, our program director. I'm going to invite all the children to kind of come forward, even out of the balcony, and come down and join Miss Kathy right here in the middle. There you go. Come on out.
Good morning. That would be mine. Good morning, Clara. Today is a special, special day. What is today? Easter. When we talk about Christmas, we have two big things that we usually talk about. We talk about whose birthday? Jesus's, and then we have Santa Claus. But who is the most important? Why do we have Christmas? Is it Jesus or Santa Claus? It's Jesus, isn't it? When we talk about Easter, some of you might have had an Easter basket this morning that might have been brought by the Easter Bunny. And we talk about bunnies, and we talk about the Easter Bunny. Some of you might have had your picture taken with the Easter Bunny. But we also talk about Jesus. So which one do you think is more important? Jesus. Jesus is the reason why we have Easter. This week we had a week that we called Holy Week, and we had several special services here at the church. And we had a special service on Thursday that helped us remember that not everyone loved Jesus. Jesus had some followers, He had disciples, He had thousands of people who came to listen to His stories, and to watch Him perform miracles and to do all kinds of special things. But the government and the church did not like Jesus. They thought that Jesus was trying to take over the country because people called Him Lord, and they thought that He had come to save the world. But they didn't understand what kind of saving He had come to do. He didn't come to take over the government. He came to save all of us from our sins. And those people had Jesus arrested, but what makes today so special is that what? What happened? Well, it's Easter. He rose from the dead. Joseph came and took Him from the cross, and He had a tomb that He had just dug out of the rock so that when He died, He would have somewhere for His family to lay His body. But He offered that tomb to Jesus. And the women wrapped Jesus they anointed Him with oil. They prepared spices for His body. They wrapped Him in a white cloth. And they laid Him in that grave. And Joseph rolled this big stone in front of it so that nobody would come and steal his body. And the women came to the tomb, to the cave, 3 days after he was buried, and nobody was there. Jesus had risen, and that is why we celebrate Easter today. So I want you to all stand up, and I want you to turn around and face the congregation, and I want you to shout out, "Christ is risen! Christ is risen! Alleluia! Alleluia!" Okay, turn back around and sit down. That's just in case somebody out there didn't know that we were celebrating Easter today and that Christ was risen. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son, and thank you for the miracle of resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you are a preschooler, you can go out for extended session with Miss Lindsay.
You will take out your scripture sheets. Matthew 28, 1 to 8, which is an angelophany, the appearance of an angel with a video and audio track, and then an appearance of the risen Lord with a video and an audio track. At the center of the angel's message is the fact that he ain't here anymore because God raised him, transformed his body. The tomb is now empty. Recognize that these encounters take place at the edge between this world and the world to come. And they are thoroughly disorienting for the participants. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he was raised as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. That is the appearance of the angel. It is quickly followed by another layer of divine revelation in the manifestation of Jesus. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "All hail." They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. It was April Fool's Day in 1984 that something strange happened to Dr. Gary Hamblin of Joplin, Missouri. In his own words, that was the day when he became a fool for Christ. And here is his testimony. "I lived the first 40 years of my life for personal gain. But as I became obedient to God, he opened my eyes to people." Hamblin soon founded a teen challenge center offering free drug counseling and care for drug-addicted youth, some of which stayed at his home. When no other doctor volunteered, Hamblin became the first medical director of the AIDS Project of the Ozarks. He also offered free care to battered women in the local shelter. 4 years later, he opened the Benevolent Clinic, where all who need care receive it, and they're never turned over to collections, and so 35 to 40 people come every Friday. He also moonlights at a hospital to cover the expenses, and in his own words, this is his saying. Now, folks, that's not an interruption. That's the sound of life. That is what life, I started to say, smells like. That's a memory from my early days as a father. Dr. Hamblin said, as he quoted from Luke, "And you shall be blessed, for they cannot repay you. You shall be blessed at the resurrection of the just." In 1992, Dr. Hamblin entered a congressional race as a novice and finished third out of six. And his platform was from Proverbs 31:9, "Plead the cause of the poor and needy." Since his first visit to Haiti in 1989, Dr. Gary Hamblin admits, "Materialism has lost its value. Before I went to Haiti, I carried a lot of fears. Fear of dying, fear of money. After a while, the fears began to vaporize. God has been weaning me away from the world's attractions and showing me that I'm to be his servant and that I'm to be a fool every day." How do you explain that kind of change in someone's life? The church knows where it comes from. It comes from a resurrected Jesus who's still walking up the aisles of our churches and around our towns to see, is there anyone left that wants to be a fool for him? And he will show them a glimpse of his kingdom and a glimpse of his new world. And because they can see the new world, they can behave in a very different way. They can begin, for God's sake, to act the fool and to be a fool for Christ. I once said to a man, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Often people nostalgically wonder what it would have been like to walk with Christ in dusty Galilee. Would it not have been a privilege to be there? It's more a privilege to be here. He was located in one space and one time then, but because of resurrection, Jesus has been freed from all space and all time to be present everywhere and to be available to anyone who calls His name. And He calls us not to follow the world's scripts for our lives, but to be a fool for Christ. And wish that we can care for the poor and engage impossible needs, not in our strength, but in the strength that comes from heaven. And it's why Jesus was so attractive to some people and so repellent to others. His disciples and the women got caught up in His foolishness. Traveling from village to village, teaching and preaching the kingdom, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, offering the freedom from shame and forgiveness, giving people a new start. Every village He went into became a fool's paradise because the kingdom of God descended. But it was such a threat that the Jewish leaders and Romans said He was a fool and they couldn't put up with Him. Now, can you imagine what a risk it was for the early followers to follow Jesus? The men and the women, they left their villages, they left their jobs, they left their families. They wandered around the countryside. Men and women who were not married. People gossiped and said it was scandalous. But when people lived together, they start calling each other nicknames. And Jesus called Peter Rocky. And James and John, who were so loud, He called them in Aramaic, Boanerges, the sons of thunder. And then there was Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus cast out seven demons. And so when Jesus came in the village, He says, "This is Rocky, these are the thunder boys, and this is the demon lady." It sounds more like a rock band or a biker gang than a holy club. Being around Jesus, they had a box seat on the kingdom of God. It's the finest education ever offered. To be with Jesus 24/7. To sleep in villages and under the starlight. And every day where He went, to see love with a capital L and truth with a capital T and P with a capital power, was never boring. Stuff was popping all the time. Jesus bewildered people, and they kept asking, "Who is this?" They never had trouble with hospitality. There were some witch ladies like Mary Magdalene and the wife of Herod's steward that kept them on the road. But folks, when you go to a village and you heal Grandmama, or Uncle George is freed of leprosy, people welcome you into their homes, and every night they would have been scattered across the houses of the village because something of God had come and life was forever different. Can you imagine 3 years of glory? 3 years of being shaped by Christ and memorizing His teaching and learning how to love, and the disciples, all the stuff that's in them that's not of God is getting sorted out. And then one day, the train crashed. The dream became a nightmare. The king and his kingdom collapsed. Jesus was sold out by a friend, captured in a garden, hauled off by police, manhandled by authorities, integrity clubbed, scourged, stripped, nailed to a cross. Now, psychologists have a term, it's called cognitive dissonance. And that's when you have two ideas in your brain, both of which seem true, but are in deep conflict. And cognitive dissonance leaves people bewildered and strange. And they look back over 3 years of walking with Jesus, and they said, "Was that real, or were we deceived? Or is what happened on Friday real? Was the kingdom tour real, or was the train wreck real?" And on Friday evening, the women who saw him crucified and washed and buried went back and told most of the apostles that it had taken him 6 hours to die, and that his side was pierced, and that a rich guy took him down and washed him off and put him in a tomb. And they ask, how could we have been so wrong? Did the Father who was with him for the 3 years all of a sudden abandon him? Was it some cruel divine joke that Jesus died? And they did not know what to say. And they did not know what to think. But the kingdom dream died with Jesus. And it was quiet all day Saturday. And they wondered, could they follow the pilgrims back to Galilee and begin life all over again? And Peter was so happy that he had not sold his fishing boat to return to his old life and hide from the officials that might be looking for them now that they had done Jesus in. And on Saturday evening, some women, among whom were Mary of Magdala and Jesus' own mother Mary, went and bought spices so that the next morning they could go and find someone to move the stone, and they could pour the oils and ointments and powdered spices all over him, because it was not a mummification thing. It was to keep down the stink. They would have put lime on him and sprayed him with Lysol, because you could not stand there for 3 days and do the rituals of grieving if the body was actually rotting in the Palestinian sweltering heat inside a borrowed tomb. And you see, Mary, his mother, went there because she had had him in her womb, and she had labored to bring him birth, and she watched him labor on the cross. She was there when he breathed his first breath, and she was there when he breathed his last, her firstborn son. Mary Magdalene was there because he had freed her from evil. Now, in 2008, some brave doctors at the New York Medical College, including some psychological faculty, mental health officials, and several priests, published an article in the New Oxford Review titled, A Case of Demonic Possession. And these doctors and hospital researchers claim to have been there when there was levitation and other occult phenomena involving a woman who had been involved in the occult. Now, folks, it takes great courage for medical researchers at a major facility to say they've been dealing with something that doesn't fit the medical model. But I assure you that as our culture begins to slip off its Christian foundations, and as more and more people go looking for exotic forms of spirituality and play with the occult, the church will have to learn how to deal again with people who have been involved with evil. And Mary was at the tomb because this was her boy. And Mary Magdalene was there because somehow when Christ came to her and touched her, the power of divine love had come out of him and gone through her life like a big wave and absolutely washed her clean. And she was devoted to him because he had saved her sorry soul. And early on the morning, they're at the tomb. And something happens that is hard to describe. The membrane between this world and the world to come was ruptured. And there stood the angel of the Lord sharing God's reflected glory. And the earth shook. And the soldiers crumpled. And the angel said to the two women, I know why you're here. You're searching for Jesus who on Friday hung from a cross. Look in here. He's not here. And the reason he's not here is not because it's the wrong tomb, because I know. I was watching. And the body has not been stolen by grave robbers. The body has been stolen by God in the power of the Spirit. Jesus has been raised. He has a transformed, transfigured humanity. It's still got the marks on it, but he's now free of space and time. He's not been resuscitated back to this life. He's gone through death to the other side. He lives beyond the power of death. He has a new resurrection body, and he's the first inhabitant of the kingdom of God. No one can hurt him anymore. Now you go tell the disciples that ran away to follow you women to Galilee, and there'll be some more appearances. And then he was gone. He stepped back through the membrane. And Mary looked at Mary and said, "I think that was the angel of the Lord." And they run to tell the guys. Now folks, write this down. It is in obedience that God gives divine revelation. If there's no guidance in your life, if there's no sense that today you are walking into the plan of God, then go back to the last time you obeyed God and obey Him. And as you start walking in obedience, step by step, doors and windows will open and divine revelation will come and your life will become a partnership with the living Jesus. I do not know how to explain the things that happen to me on a regular basis, except I'm trying to fumble forward in obedience. And God sends light. And it was as these women were running back to fulfill the angelic command that Jesus steps out of the other world and steps into their mourning. And in Greek, it's all hail, and in Southern, it'd be, "Hi, Mama. Hey, Mary." And they fall to their faces, and they worship Him, and they touch His feet, and the nail marks are still there. And He is no ghost. He has a transformed physicality with new powers. Now, for them to worship Him if He's not God is idolatry. But their worship of Him is a clue that Jesus shares the same full divinity as the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity was an experience of worship before it was a doctrine in the church. And look what happens next. The men had fled, and Jesus says, "Go tell my homeboys, go tell my brothers that I'm not through with them. That our movement lost momentum on Friday. It's been rekindled this morning. Go to Galilee, and there they will see me." If Jesus had only died, there would be no Christianity. If Jesus had only died, He would be a footnote in some ancient Jewish or Roman historian. But the claim of the church is that the women went, that the tomb was empty, that the angels explained it, and it was verified by the risen Lord in multiple appearances to different people over time. And that He reconstituted His movement as the Christian church. This is not just a doctrine. And if you seek Christ, He will find you. He is alive. He knows you and your pain. He wants to draw you into His world of life. And He's waiting to meet you at this table today. And I want everyone here to come to the table of the risen Christ today, not primarily as a religious act, but to throw open your heart and life. And I warn you, you might be touched, and tomorrow might find you on a very different path to becoming a fool for Jesus Christ. One year, the Methodist pastor at First Methodist in Trawl made a fatal mistake. on that Easter Sunday, he left out hymn number 322, which was my father's favorite hymn. And I think on the way out, he took the pastor's hand and he said, "I'm your physician, and for your health, I recommend that you never leave out that hymn again." I don't know of a hymn that lets men sing with a better voice than hymn number 322. Please stand. Risen Christ, let us pray to the Lord that He may crush beneath our feet the prince of darkness and all evil powers, that He may provide through us for those who lack food, work, shelter, friendship, and a place to call their spiritual home, that the Holy Spirit may rain down upon this and all Greenwood churches, that all pastors and laity be bold in their witness and tender in their care, that those who have never heard of Jesus may be reached by pioneer missions, especially in the Muslim world, where the cost is so high, that we receive a new desire to hear and obey the truths of Holy Scripture, that we may, as Christ's disciples, be fervent in prayer and in holy living, that this church, Main Street United Methodist, love God with all that we are and our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Our ushers are prepared to receive your tithes and offerings, and you may be seated. wonderful power. Let us stand and give God praise. Congregation is invited to turn to page 18 and to join in the sung responses at the prayer of great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord.
Holy, holy, holy Lord.
God of power and might.
God of power and might.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna.
Hosanna.
In the highest. Highest.
In the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now with great anticipation, let us pray for the kingdom that Jesus has promised. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A Methodist communion table is open to all baptized Christians of any denomination. If you are not a believer and you are drawn to this table today, you are receiving Christ as your Lord, and we'll need to follow up with instruction and baptism. Our etiquette is very simple. Take your right hand, put your left on it to make the sign of the cross. When you come forward, if you extend your hand, bread will be put there. If you take the bread, dip it in the cup, receive the body and blood of Christ. The ushers will guide you by the center aisles. There'll be four serving stations. You'll return by the side aisles. And as soon as our servers are in their places, our ushers will guide you to the Lord's table, and you may be seated. Thank you. If there's anyone who came to worship today with pain in your body or pain in your heart, Kid Atkins and Ben Williams, two members of our prayer team, will be in the chapel right behind this sanctuary to pray us as long as anyone has a need. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for helping us kind of strut our stuff on Easter Sunday. Christ is alive. You are not alone. He calls you to know Him as a beginner or an old saint, to reflect His love everywhere you go. And there you will find a blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you.